And a couple of people aren't here yet, but we can go back to them. March was going to give us have a discussion, so we'll come back to her when she joins. Can I get an approval of the minutes from the March 4th meeting and the March 9th and March 16th?
I'll move it.
Moved. Second.
32nd. Archer. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 97. I understand, Legislator Parity, you're okay with postponing this to next week?
Yes, I am. I understand that things are moving along very nicely in terms of the numbers, but we want to get it as accurately as we possibly can.
Okay. We make a motion then to postpone it to next meeting?
I will do that, yes, whatever's required.
Can I get a second?
I'll second. Bartels? Second.
Bartels. All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Okay. Resolutions. Resolution 157, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget to accept allocation of funds.
I'll move it.
From the New York State Temporary Disability. Okay. Second?
I'll second, Bartels.
Thank you, Bartels. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 158, amending the 2021 budget for Department of Social Services. There's a motion.
I'll move it, Bartels.
Archer, second, Bartels. Discussion? No. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 159, amending the 2021 budget to accept allocation from the Frederick Harvitz Foundation to support technology tools for child welfare casework. A motion? Archer, a second?
Yep. Walter,
any discussion? All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? So carried. 160, amending the 2021 budget for allocation of funds from New York State Children and Family to expand services under the Supervision and Treatment Services for Juvenile Programs Annual Plan. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second, Bartels. Discussion? Archer, is that you want to discuss? No. Okay. All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Carry. 162, amending the 2021 budget to accept funding from New York State Mental Health for Veteran Peer-to-Peer Support Pilot Program. Motion?
I'll move it.
Walter, second, Parity. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? 163, amending the 2021 budget to accept increased funding from New York State Office of Mental Health for supported housing. Motion? Walter, second.
I'll second it.
Second, Parity. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. All right, let's pause here. Comptroller Gallagher is here to speak now.
Thank you. My apologies for being late. I was having trouble getting in. I did want to take, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I wanted to mention just a couple things briefly. One is that we filed our annual report with the legislature and executive at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the month, and our risk assessment over the coming year will probably change to be more of a continuous risk assessment process, which is what the current best practices standard is going forward. So I wanted to mention that. We have a series of recommendations from those risk assessments that will be shared with the executive, and then we'll put it out publicly after they have a chance to comment. And then the second thing that I really wanted to mention today is just as we close out 2020, our office has a charter mandated responsibility to share a quarterly report with the legislature and executive. And in this case, because there are still journal entries being made up to the filing of the AUD, it comes later than the other quarterly reports. We are really trying to narrow the time between the close of the quarter and when we bring information back to you guys. But unfortunately with these, you know, additional changes that need to be entered, we're still not all the way there. However, I do have some numbers to share with you. We are looking at a pretty significant surplus for 2020. As of noon today, that was $18.2 million in surplus for the 2020 budget. There are a couple of revenue items that I want to mention, which is that bed tax was 23% under budget. We're pretty certain that number is not going to change. Sales tax was only 1% under budget. So you have a combination of reduced expenditures, which really has to do with the hard work of the legislature and executive in sort of reining in expenditures in 2020, as well as less impact on revenues from COVID than we anticipated. So I wanted to share those with you so you have them as you move forward in your decisions, you know, over the next 4 to 6 weeks while we're waiting for the AUD to come out and before your next Ways and Means Committee meeting. So, you know, there will be some additional changes, but I think it's a really important thing to note. We did not spend fund balance. We're ending 2020 with a surplus. And I think that it really means this information with the Recovery Act funding that's coming, as well as a potential infrastructure national bill, means that the legislature is going to have to be really strategic, as I know you will be, in thinking about what's best for the taxpayer. Things like perhaps refunding the tax stabilization fund that was used at the end of the year when we had so much uncertainty. So I wanted to share those things with you now. I'd be happy to answer a question if that is appropriate at this time. But given that we're not going to be able to pull our final numbers for our quarterly report until quite some months after the end of 2020, I wanted to give you a verbal update now. Thanks.
Thank you. Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. And thank you for the update. I appreciate it. I'm curious about the bed tax. Have we started to receive revenue from the agreement with Airbnb?
When I looked last week, we hadn't received anything. I didn't look today. And we did talk to the Commissioner of Finance, and he said he was waiting for the first check. So it may have come in the last day or two, but as of last week, we had not received it yet.
Okay. Bert. I see that, Bert.
Yeah, I can speak on that. It was reaching out actually through the county attorney's office with Airbnb. Because they have so many municipalities that they have agreements with, their system is only set to do two options. One is the kind of April, which isn't our scheduled bed tax receipts. Ours is normally due in March or on a monthly basis. They're going to switch that to a monthly basis for us. So that way I can kind of report those things back to Ways and Means on a better update. I have yet to receive the first check, but they are switching their system. I'll probably get it in April, and then going forward, I'll get it on a monthly basis.
Can I just ask a follow-on question, Chair Gavars? When did the agreement become effective with them? When did they start collecting on RBF?
January 1st of this year, Legislator Bartels.
Okay, thank you. So we will be able to do a comparison. I know it's probably not fair during COVID times, but it would be interesting to see a comparison of revenues received through the agreement versus revenues that we received last year.
The real tough time is, you got to remember, March is when the pandemic kind of started. So we will have some comparison that first quarter because it's December, January, and February.
Yeah.
But after that, with COVID, I think it's going to be rather difficult for those first couple months after that.
But we could look back even the previous year, pre-COVID.
Yeah, we definitely could. Yeah, I can go back, you know, to when we started collecting. That's for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Anything else? All right. Legislator Haynes?
We should have no problem returning the money to the tax stabilization fund with the surplus money. There shouldn't be any issue with that.
I would think not. Maybe you want to put more in.
Thank you.
I will just put some caution to that because we still have yet to receive any guidance from the federal government as to the use of this. So I just, until we receive that, I'll just say that, you know, as a cautionary measure.
Legislator Bartels.
But again, just for clarification, when you talk about guidance from the federal government, that's the funds we're receiving from the federal government. If we end the year with a surplus, we could put the surplus into the, utilize the surplus for that. If that's what we chose to do as a policy.
Legislator Walker.
Thanks. March, just wondering, for all the expenses that we're expecting ultimately FEMA reimbursal, did you count it as a real expense now or did you not?
It's counted as a real expense. Okay. I think that, you know, we've only tracked COVID expenses in personnel that we consider to be reimbursable by FEMA. So that is overtime. And obviously materials, contracts, and supplies that are COVID related as well. But they are real expenditures, yeah.
Yeah. No, I realize they're real. I'm just wondering how they went into calculate. For example, we have a resolution that's pretty high right now that, so I'm just,
yeah,
want to clarify that they got counted as actual.
Yes, yes, that surplus includes all of those expenditures as well, definitely.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just say one other thing, which is that we are expecting guidance from the Office of State Comptroller on municipal, you know, allocation of revenue of Recovery Act funding. So obviously we'll share that along when we receive it, if we get it before you guys. Yeah.
Legislative Bartels.
I have a question. I wanted to ask if I could ask a question about a resolution that's passed when we're done with the comptroller's presentation.
I'm all set. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I apologize for being a moment late getting in.
Thank you.
All right. If we could return back, got to go back to 161, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget to accept the allocation of funds from New York State Office of Children and Family Services. Have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Walter, any discussion? All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Okay. Legislator Bartels, you wanted to...
I actually, my question's on 162, which I know we advanced, but I realize I had a note here. And that is, so this is a pilot program. Who is going to be administering and facilitating this program? And do we have a description somewhere of what actually the full program is?
It is administered through, sorry.
Go ahead.
It'll be administered through the Office of Mental, Health and Mental Health. It is a program that is for veterans, but it goes through New York State OMH. So our Department of Mental Health will administer the contract.
And who is the contract? The contract is with who?
Hudson Valley Reintegration Center.
And do
Hudson
you
Valley
have...
Veterans Integration Center.
Hudson Valley Veterans Reintegration Center. And do you have a description of the program itself? I would just like to read more about it.
So we will be coming back to you next month with the contract for this specific allocation. It was just not ready between the vendor and the county this month, but it will have the detailed description of the program.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. All right, 165, amending 2021 Ulster County budget, accept increased funding from New York State Office of Mental Health, Gateway Community Industries. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it. Bartels.
Second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 166, approving the execution of a contract for $125,000 entered into by Ulster County with Anderson Medical PC Emergency One Urgent Care Diagnostic Center. Motion? Walter, second. Any second?
No, no.
Haynes. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? 167, approving the execution of a contract for $100,000 into Ulster County for Industrial Medicine Associates. Motion. Archer, second. Walters, any discussion? All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? 168, approving the execution of a two-year collective bargaining agreement between Ulster County and the Ulster County Community College Organization of Professional Administrative Personnel, OPAC. Have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second it, Bartels.
Okay. Any discussion? Those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? So carried. 169, adopting the reacquisition policy of September 2003. Motion?
I'll move for discussion.
Second. Art, Walter. Does anybody else have any, I know what Legislator Archer has.
So sorry, the dog had to go out.
That's good.
On this one, I was looking at this, we're updating it. Is that because we are moving to using an online auction firm for, just to understand why we're making these changes? I think we have Bert raising his hand, Chairman.
Bert. Yeah, just to explain, it is interesting.
Which
the reacquisition policy of 2003 didn't have. What this addresses with the online auctions, there is it's about as best I can do. Sorry about that. The online auction has a buyer's kind of fee where the bidding, there's a 3% bidding premium on this. So if someone were to come after the auction and want to bid a dollar more, this addresses the former owner basically paying back the winning bid, that 3%.
So they'll pay the fee for the transaction through the auction house.
Correct. And really what this is, because the winning bidder basically would lose that money if we didn't have the former owner kind of get the money back to them.
Okay, then on point number three, you have an incomplete sentence, and it's the first one, and it goes into the second one, so you may just want to take a look at just correcting that. It states, okay. The owner shall use the property in whole or in part for residential, business, or commercial purposes, and has been so using it for at least 2 years prior to the application period. And then it says, and if just either you could do and or capitalize documentary proof of this, you shall be submitted with the application.
Okay, yep, we'll update that.
Great, thanks.
Any other discussion? Ms. Bartels?
I'm just curious, Bert, do you know, do other of our neighboring counties, do they have reacquisition? Are we the only one with this kind of policy?
We are one of not many that have such a policy. I know our neighboring counties do not.
Wow. I think that's something we should be proud of, that we have this policy.
Yeah. I mean, we do give them this final choice. Remember, we also allow the kind of owners the Friday before auction to buy it back from the county. A lot of folks set a date a lot sooner than we do, per se, as we get closer to the auction.
Good.
Mr. Archer?
Yeah, just to follow up, are we in communication with those property owners? So they're kind of fully assessed of where they're at in this process. There's no surprises, right?
Yeah, I mean, we send them, they have to sign the foreclosure notices we send out in October. Okay. We send the neighbors also are notified, because, you know, sometimes a knock on the door will help too, so.
And do we have any dates yet for this year's auctions?
I kind of was waiting for this resolution to get passed. I will say we're going to do the 2020 auction first, because we had to cancel that last year. My guess in terms of the date, probably sometime in June. I don't have a firm date yet. As soon as I do, I will pass it on to the legislature. And then the 2021 auction, probably, well, you're going to see how we make out with 2020s first, probably towards the fall. I can't do them back to back because the process of getting one auction takes a while. So probably the end of, you know, the fall. Yep.
Right. Thank you.
Sure.
You should tell.
Yeah, I just wanted to just share a little background on why Legislator Criswell and I, offer this legislation at this time. We started to, you know, we're seeking to learn a little bit more about the county auction process. And in our research, you know, in talking to finance and talking to Clerk Crivella, we learned that this was a blocking issue for, you know, any of the auctions to really, or this was an issue that needed to be addressed. So I'll use this, you know, moment in explaining that to just say anyone else who's interested in that particular area of the county's work, especially considering that we have a housing crisis in our community right now, you know, I ask that you reach out to either Legislator Chris Well or I, as we're very, very keenly interested in, you know, not ending the conversation here, but very much beginning it.
Thank you. Anybody else? All those in favor?
I
opposed? I'm going to recuse myself from this one. I missed another one apparently because it's so worded so closely. I thought we already read this, but 164 is amending the 2021 budget to accept increased funding from New York State Office of Mental Health for assertive community treatment. Can I have a motion? Walter, second. Larcher, any discussion? All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Thank you. All right, 170, authorizing the conveyance of Ulster County to the original owners, Department of Finance. Motion? Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? I'm going to recuse myself as well. Approving the execution of 175, using the execution of an amendment for 5,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment to be in excess of 50,000 to Ulster, United Way of Ulster County. Can I have a motion? Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? 176, approving the execution of a contract amendment for 46,720, causing the aggregate to be in excess of 50,000 in way of Ulster County. Your motion?
With a move for discussion.
Second. Bartels, Legislator Archer.
Yeah, I somehow missed this in economic development. When did we start giving incentives to participants in the program? I see there's two levels, one for, I guess, the regular summer program. And then, I mean, I know this is for payroll, but in there is the identification of incentives that we're providing to participants in this program. And for some reason, I don't ever recall this, just be my memory. Can anyone speak to that?
I don't recall that we've changed anything for this program in the last couple of years. We can follow up with Evelyn, but I think these are incentives that we've included. It may just not have been as clear in the contract language.
Yeah, well, one group is eligible for a $50 to $100 incentive, and I guess it's to finish the program. And I'm just curious, is this to incentivize them to finish the program? Are we having problems with people finishing the program? And the other is for the web-based, and that's pretty significant. Right. That's a $400 to $800 incentive. So I'm just curious, because I really don't recall seeing this before, and I caught it this go around, and I'm just curious as to how, you know, and I guess if you have the money. So sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. It would be helpful to just get a better understanding of this.
Any other discussion? Lizard, do you want to postpone this till next week?
I'm not looking to hold up, but I do want an answer to the question. I mean, I guess if we hold it up till next week, get the answer, that'll be fine. I'll make a motion to postpone.
All right, second, Bartels.
Can I ask a question? I mean, I'll second, but I just want to ask one other question. And that's regarding the rate that the youth get paid. Are these kids eligible for the $15 an hour based on the earlier policy we're talking about, or what's happening?
I can follow up with Evelyn on that.
Thank you.
Bert, did you? All right, any other? We have a motion, a second, to postpone. Any discussion on the postponement? All those in favor, postponing to next week.
All right.
Anybody opposed? So resolution is postponed to next week. 177, authorizing the chair of NTMC agreement, municipal agreement with various municipalities for the operation summer youth employment program. Have a motion. Walter. Have a second. Archer. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. 179, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $60,141 with CB20 Inc. Computer Professional International. Can I have a motion? Motion Walter, second. Archer. Any discussion? Legislative Bartels?
You know, I meant to reach out and then I forgot, but I have a note that I would just like to see the full contract. I don't think it was in the packet in terms of the backup. I know it's there. I know we have it somewhere, but can I just get a copy of that? As long as I have it, I'm okay voting on it. If I have an issue, I can bring it back up next week.
I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor? Opposed? 180, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $850,000 entered into Gloucester County for acute care nursing on Home Inc. Mercy Management. Motion. Walter, second. Archer, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So, 181, authorizing the chair of Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, Office of Interoperable and Emergency Communication for the 2018 Statewide Interoperable Communication Target Grant. For a motion. Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? 182, authorizing the chair of the Wilson County Legislature to an agreement with the County of Orange, Rockland, and Sullivan for the purpose of creating a regional partnership for fire emergency services. Motion. Walter, second. Bartels, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 183, authorizing the chair of Los Angeles Legislature to enter an agreement with New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, Sexual Crisis and Prevention Program. Motion. Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 184, approving the execution of a contract for $165,000 for Family Woodstock. Motion. Walters, Bartels, second. Any discussion? Bartels?
Thank you. So, you know, I was looking at this Schedule A, this applies to both 184 and 185. And in this one, there's the requirement of monthly data elements to be reported. And the next one, it's quarterly reports. But I'm wondering, is it not unreasonable to ask for annual reports? Because we, in both contracts, they talk about outcomes and measurement of outcomes, but without an annual report, it seems like it would take a lot of look back to either be looking across month by month and collating that against an annual outcome that's outlined in the contract. And then, so I don't know. I'm just curious if that's something that we can ask for.
Legislator Walters.
Thanks. So we did ask verbally about that, just their numbers. So I know that they have them. I think that it's not unreasonable to ask for it because we had that conversation just asked how many they were able to provide information. So I wouldn't be surprised if they could provide whatever you're looking for.
I mean, is it something that would make sense then to put into the contract asking for an annual report? Or is there a reason that we don't? I mean, I just feel like when I look at these from contract to contract, you know, there's a lot of latitude in these Schedule A's in terms of reporting requirements. And it seems if we could standardize and at least ask for some level of annual reporting, it would make sense. I don't know because I'm not on that committee. So,
let's say Walter.
Well, we did come up with standard language last year, if I recall, for the Schedule A's. I don't know if they, and perhaps I don't know if Amber could speak to it, but we had sort of tried to move in that direction of having very standardized language for this.
So Family of Woodstock does provide an annual report to the legislature. So I just need to review that and see if the level of detail that we're looking to achieve is already in there or not.
Mr. Barkins.
Because that's great. And I think that would be helpful because particularly as, you know, if in each of these Schedule A's, they talk about outcomes and measurable goals. So it would seem to me that an annual report for each would be warranted. But if essentially the Family of Woodstock annual report contains individual annual reports for each program, that would serve the same purpose. But if it doesn't, I definitely would, I would like to see it, and I would like to see it included in the contract so that we're not trying to, as legislators and as policymakers, trying to chase down numbers and an understanding of this, sometimes on a month, you know, on an aggregating month-to-month report, sometimes having to reach out to a vendor, because it's not always this one vendor, and ask for an annual report, and sometimes, you know, trying to collapse quarterlies. I think that some kind of standardization would make sense. And I certainly would like to see it, because otherwise I don't know how we measure those outcomes. How, you know, it's something that I think there's improvement to be had. Not in the program, but in our receiving the information in terms of the reporting on it.
Mr. Walter.
Thank you. If we are changing these, you know, what we're requesting, I'd like to add that all of these state contracts require a plan for hiring minorities and women, and they're supposed to have an articulated plan and actually act on that plan and you know, concentrate on hiring minorities and women when there is hiring. We did talk about this and ask emergency services and others how this was working, but it would be great if there was some, not just people served, but also their efforts to hiring minorities and women would be great to as well.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor? Aye. Opposed?
But can I just ask, what would it take to modify the contract to actually include an annual report? Is there some way we can figure this out before next week? I mean, I don't think it, especially if it's something they already have, and in particular to these contracts, given that the vendor is Family of Woodstock, if it's information that they already have readily available, I can't even imagine that they'd give much pushback on amending the contract to require it, but can we find out about that before next week?
Councilor Grigio.
Yeah, you can answer and see what it would take, but
Councilor.
Yeah, sure, I'm happy to speak with the county attorney on this. I can't speak to whether they would push back or not, but it's very simple legal language. So if they don't, it's something we can incorporate. But I'm happy to work with the county attorney to see if we can get that done.
Could I then ask that we postpone these two just for the week while we get that sorted? And if, again, I don't want to hold up these contracts, I don't want to hold up these services, but if we could get the requirement into the contractual language, I would like to see that happen. And then I'd also like to see us work on what Legislator Walter was talking about, a standardized language that would happen in Schedule A's, barring reasons for accepting it.
Legislator Archer.
Just as a point of clarification through the chair to Legislator Walter, the changes and some of the common themes that you were looking for in contracts, were those instituted for the most part?
Sorry, the
common language you were looking for in the contracts, were most of those incorporated into the current contracts?
It's a good question. I mean, it's failure. I haven't followed up. I do know about a year ago, we had this exact conversation and identified some very specific language that we wanted to have in each of those. But I haven't honestly been checking that that's been done. So I don't know, Amber, do you know if those that's been put in?
That's for our legislative non-county contract agency contracts. That's not for the other county executive contracts.
Oh, so perhaps, sorry, the same parameters that we had requested for those, it sounds like that's exactly what we would like to have applied for these as well.
Deputy Executive Ryder.
The only flag I want to say is that the Schedule A's are the Schedule A's, the Schedule B's are really meant to be individualized for each contract. If we were going to have standard language, I'd prefer it be in one of the articles. So what Legislative Walter was talking about as far as MWBE, if there's any requirement like that in the contract, adding an article and having standard language there. But the Schedule A's, the scope of services and the fees are very individualized. So I don't know that the county attorney's office would want to put forward standard language there.
So Legislative Bartels, do you want to postpone this? Is that what you're looking to do?
I would like to, in anticipation of legislative council speaking to the county attorney about whether or not we can just put in the requirement of annual reporting in these two contracts. Then we can have the other conversations. I think what Deputy Executive Ryder is bringing up makes sense in terms of the Schedule A's being very unique. But at the same time, I also think we should, something like an annual reporting is something that should be on a checklist of something that should be in Schedule A's, generally speaking. And again, it's like this stood out to me because one of them has monthly data elements and the other has a quarterly demo. And then they both specifically speak to annual outcomes, but don't require an annual reporting. So I would just like to see annual reporting in these two to start, and then we can have that conversation separately. But again, I don't want to hold up the contract. So if we can't get this sorted, then we can't get it sorted this month. And hopefully we'll just be, they'll be amenable to giving us the information. But I'm hopeful given that it happens that these two are family of Woodstock and we have excellent working relationship with them. They're a regular contracted agency to the county. So I'm optimistic that we may be able to achieve this within the week because as legislation has already said, it's relatively simple language and it's information that they're probably already providing in one form or another.
All right, can I get a second on the postponement? Legislator Archer, all those in favor on the postponement? Opposed? Okay, all right, postpone the next week. All right.
Thank you.
Would you like to make a postponement for 185 as well?
Yes, please.
All right, motion for that, can I have a second? Walter, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? 186, establishing capital project number 570, purchase highway equipment, have a motion?
I'll move it, Bartels.
I'll second, Walter. Any discussion? Mm-hmm. All those in favor? Opposed? 188, authorizing the chair of those kind of legislators sign an agreement with Village of New Paltz in Ulster County for pulling equipment and materials. Got a motion. Walter, second. Bartels, discussion?
I got a question.
Let's hit Perry.
Just curiously, is do we have to pass a resolution like this for every political subdivision in a county? Or, I mean, we do have only one other village, Saugerties. Ellenville's village elections were combined with the general elections. Is this something new? Because we run the election, we meaning the Board of Elections. And it's whatever the answer is okay. I'm just kind of curious that that they're being done for something that's part of the system.
Deputy Dick Milgram?
Or just for clarity's sake, these at least the school boards, and I believe the villages too, although I'm not positive, the school elections are run by the schools, not the Board of Elections.
But the school, we're not talking about the school in this case.
There's two resolutions, they're both.
I'm talking about 188. It says the village of New Paltz.
We don't operate the village elections.
Correct.
I mean, so we may.
Well, we always did. We always did.
I think there was agreements in place then as well, but now the Board of Elections has decided to do this agreement where they're loaning out the equipment as opposed to, I believe, operating the actual election. I mean, John can speak to it better, but.
Listen, it's not that important to me, but do we loan the equipment out to the town of Olive? Do we loan the equipment out to the city of Kingston? Do we loan the equipment out to the town of Kingston? Why is New Paltz, did they enter into an agreement like this with Saugerties? I just don't know. I'm not looking to hold it up, but this is kind of a, well, since it's part of my resume, I'm kind of curious as to what happened, that's all.
Let me try to get you an answer.
That's fine.
Leslie, what, did you have a comment?
Yeah, well, I just also, I guess, John, if you're looking into it, you know, that they are looking into changing their village elections to our November election date. And can you just sort of, what would the implications of that change be on this as well, just if you're exploring it?
Would the implications of that be is your question? I'm sorry.
Right. I would assume then they wouldn't have to pay for the extra equipment, but I just wanted to confirm that that would be a savings to them.
Correct. I think it's only $228, but it would be. So this election is May 4th, which is why it's separate and we're not doing it like the other elections. I believe the village of Ellenville moved their election to the regular dates. And the only reason that we're having to do this is because the village of New Paltz is not on those same dates.
May I?
That's a fair point.
And just for legislators, Walters, it was moved to Ellenville as a money-saving deal for the village. And when we were reading the law, we found out that we had one day to officially notify the government, the Board of Elections, and the village to pass the law. So if they're going to do that, have the folks out there read the law to make sure they're in the time frame.
Leslie Archer.
Yeah, I just picked up on this one and the next one. Just an error in the resolution. The chairman of Ways and Means is Guevara's, not Archer.
Oh, well, okay. All right, Uncle.
And just to add to what Parody's comment about the reason why the village did it, that was one of the reasons. The second one was the mayor was tired of campaigning in the snow, so he wanted warmer weather for campaigning. So
it was convenience. Convenience in dollars and cents.
Convenience was definitely a reason why to do that. So, yes. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. 189, authorizing chair will kind of legislate sign agreements with the various school districts for loaning of equipment. Motion? Walter, second. Archer, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? 191, approving the home rule request for Senate Bill S4343 and Assembly Bill A6725, authorizing the county elect to reopen provisions in Section 552 of the Retirement Social Security Law. Have a motion. Art Walter, second. Haynes, have a discussion. Legislator Bartels.
So I just want to understand. So this, we passed this and it was not taken up. So that's why we're passing it to, in the hopes that it'll get taken up. And I just have a question, two questions. Is the language of this resolution identical to the language of the previous resolution? I wasn't able to pull them up to compare.
Legislator Haynes.
I believe it's just a housekeeping matter. Session ended last year and the bills were reintroduced with new sponsors and put in front of both the Assembly and the Senate again. I believe the language is the same. Nothing should have changed at all. Just the bill numbers.
So can I just follow on? Because my question really, there, one thing stood out to me. It said, and I wrote notes because I don't, because of my computer, I can't have both things up at the same time. But it said, that it was new home rule request that was due, not ascribable to their own negligence. Was that language in the original, was that language in the original resolution? Because again, I mean, I supported this last time and I plan to support it again, but there, I remember quite a bit of discussion about how this happened and about whether or not it was due to where the blame lie in why this happened, which again, I don't think we have to reopen all of that, but now we're passing a resolution that says that this is not ascribable to the personnel's own, the individual people's own negligence, which I'm not sure that's, that was most certainly decided. And again, that doesn't affect my vote. I'm just wondering why that language is there. And I don't recall that language being there before.
Legislator Walter first, then Haynes.
I mean, unless Legislator Haynes has the previous one up in front of her.
It did say that the last time.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that that's what, that Vicki did not, you know, decide to add some language to it that wasn't there. And I imagine that those, that language is important and necessary for those bills to pass.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? We do have one new business. So CMA, there was a contract for 1 year and then with the option of two renewals. Do we want to renew for one more year, 2 years? Let's say Bartels.
I mean, past practice has been to do the renewals on a year-by-year basis, which I would definitely suggest that we have that conversation, not about a two-year renewal, but about a one-year renewal this year. I mean, I could say that I was happy with their work and I'm happy to renew. I mean, I'll just throw that out rather than beginning the process of looking again. I think we can build on that relationship that we began with them. And I think they brought a really different approach.
Do you want to make a motion to renew for 1 year?
Is that what we're doing right now? We'd be making, wouldn't we need a resolution before us?
Defer to the.
I think typically we would have a resolution.
I think so, you're just looking to sponsor to make the decision that you want to put in a resolution.
Right. Okay.
Legislator Archer.
Yeah, I would say I would support a renewal. They were very responsive. I found them to be quite informative. When I had issues or questions, they were quick to respond, and I thought their report was pretty comprehensive. So I would support bringing them back for another year.
Any other discussion? Right, so it sounds like you'll sponsor Legislator Bartels and resolution. And Legislator Archer as well. Legislator Bartels?
Yeah, I would suggest that unless there's objection from the committee, that the whole committee sponsor it. I think that would be the way to go.
Do you want to make a motion for the committee to sponsor?
I could do that if you, yeah. I'll make a motion that the committee sponsor a resolution next month extending the contract for CMA 1 year.
Does the RGO second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right, any old business? And motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor? Opposed? Thank you, everyone.